Good morning, early birds. You've caught the worm, a podcast from Yellowstone Public Radio and our friends at Montana Public Radio, bringing you the latest news of the region. I'm Carl Lengel, your host. It is the 24th of December, 2025, a Wednesday. Two Montana radio stations have received grants from the Public Media Bridge Fund. The money will help fill the gaps left by federal funding cuts, Montana Public Radio Shaley Rager reports.
KGVA broadcasts from Ani Nakota College across the Fort Belknap Indian community and surrounding area. It's a small station, and before this summer, federal funding made up more than 75% of its budget. Congress rescinded roughly $1 billion from public broadcasting in July, and KGVA's future became uncertain. General Manager Jack Jones says the station looked into applying for a commercial license for the advertising revenue.
But being in such a rural area, we don't really have enough businesses in our area that would help generate the revenue.
Besides, Jones says, KGVA wants to stick to the public radio model. The Public Media Bridge Fund awarded the station a one-time $200,000 grant. Jones says it'll keep them afloat through fiscal year 2027.
We're still fighting. We're still here. We still feel that public media is an important infrastructure for the community.
KGLT is an alternative public radio station broadcasting throughout southwest Montana from Bozeman since 1968. It also received a $200,000 grant from the Bridge Fund. General Manager Craig Clark says the federal funding cuts required an emergency fundraising drive and reworking the budget. Clark says the new grant means staff can return their attention to daily operations, like creating a children's show.
We're able to kind of refocus on those other things that are looking towards the future.
The Public Media Corporation behind the grants estimated that 115 local stations across the country would have to close by mid-2026 if they didn't receive additional funding. In Helena, I'm Shaley Riker.
Grizzly bears continue to show up in places where they have not been seen in decades. Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks has confirmed a grizzly bear was picked up on a game camera in the Bangtail Range east of Bozeman. It's the first time a grizzly has been seen in these mountains in roughly 50 years. The sighting follows a recent trend of bears dispersing from Yellowstone National Park, including sightings in Livingston this fall and Shields Valley in 2023. As bears continue to expand their range, FWP reminds Montanans to be bear aware and prepared to encounter grizzlies anywhere in the western two-thirds of the state. Some residents in northwestern Montana remain under a boil water advisory following severe weather impacts from December storms. Montana Public Radio's Victoria Traxler has more.
Libby locals have been unable to drink their city water since December 11th. County officials announced today the city's boil water advisory will continue for at least another 10 days. Zach Sherbo, public health manager with Lincoln County.
The water treatment facilities had to shift operations.
Sherbo says this shift has led to intaking water from another location with high turbidity or cloudiness. The state tested the water for heavy metals last week. That test came back clear, but this high turbidity means the boil notice will remain in effect until the end of the month. Sherbo says representatives from FEMA should be arriving next week.
Cleanup, restoration, recovery efforts. It's going to be a long haul.
The town's Memorial Event Center will host a storm resource event on December 29th and 30th. There, locals can get connected with volunteer groups, churches, and state agencies from noon to 8 p.m. For more information, visit the Lincoln County Health Department's Facebook page. In Missoula, I'm Victoria Traxler.
Montana's Department of Corrections will have new leadership in 2026. Deputy Director Eric Strauss will step up as head of the agency in January. That's when current Director Brian Gutkin will assume a new role as U.S. Marshal for the District of Montana. Governor Greg Gianforte announced Strauss's appointment this week, saying he's a strong leader who will oversee the future of corrections in Montana. Strauss has served as deputy director for the last year. Prior to that, he held positions with the Department of Labor and Industry and St. Peter's Hospital in Helena. Wyoming U.S. Representative Harriet Hageman has announced she will run for the U.S. Senate seat currently held by Cynthia Lummis. That's after Loomis announced she would not run for a second term in the Senate. In a campaign video, Hageman referenced working with President Trump to deliver, quote, the largest tax cut in American history, unquote, as well as her fight against resource management plans. Hageman primaried former U.S. Representative Liz Cheney in 2022 after receiving an endorsement from Trump. Cheney had co-chaired a committee investigating the January 6th riot at the U.S. Capitol. Hageman's decision to run for Senate means the race for Wyoming's only seat in the House will be wide open in the upcoming 2026 election. Groups that work for environmental justice are concerned that a delay in Environmental Protection Agency methane emission rules will put thousands of lives across the country at risk. Public News Service's Mark Richardson reports.
The agency's 2024 methane rule would have required major reductions in methane emissions and other air pollution from the oil and gas industry. The EPA's move to delay it for 18 months has drawn strong criticism from groups, including We Act for Environmental Justice, which says local communities bear the health and economic burdens of this pollution. Yosef Robele with We Act says the delay could be deadly.
This delay is unfortunately more likely than not going to result in unnecessary deaths and increased hospital visits, our continuation of high rates of ER visits, public health burdens being placed on communities near it.
2016 report finds that air pollution from oil and gas results in 8 deaths per million Utah residents. The EPA's own analysis shows that methane rules could prevent 1,500 premature deaths and 100,000 asthma attacks each year. Mark Richardson reporting.
In a press release this week, Montana Fish and Wildlife Commission announced 2026 and 2027 hunting regulations. FWP also detailed a variety of changes to address concerns about non-resident hunting pressure and mule deer numbers. During the past several hunting seasons, FWP staff and Fish and Wildlife Commissioners have heard growing concern and frustration with hunting pressure from non-resident hunters, particularly in eastern Montana. The commission approved an amendment to the regulations. It will cap the sale of a particular non-resident deer license. This cap would essentially cut the number of these licenses available to non-residents by about 2,500. Mule deer decline, particularly in eastern Montana, has also been a concern. In 2026 and 2027, most mule deer B licenses will be valid only on private land. The commission also reduced the total number of deer licenses a resident can hold from 8 to 3. FWP made the changes during its December 4th meeting. Montana Shakespeare in the Schools wrapped up its 2025 tour recently. This year's production and workshops of Shakespeare's Richard III traveled a little under 8,000 miles across Montana and Wyoming, bringing the Bard to almost 13,000 middle and high school students. Associate Artistic Director Riley O'Toole shares how new audiences found a contemporary relevance to the dense Shakespearean text.
You know, we had never done a history play as part of our high school tour in the fall. The high school tour is made up of an 80-minute adapted performance followed by a talk back with the students. And then they go into workshops and do one of several different workshops with the students that are intended to help the teachers meet Montana arts education standards and incorporate arts learning into the classroom. But Richard III is, it's fascinating to see how the students received it. You know, there was a lot of great conversations in one of our workshops about leadership and about the kind of leaders we select and what the qualities we want to have in our leaders. And the students had some great debates with each other and chose different characters from the play that they really either identified with or thought would be a good leader based on their actions in the play, based on the values that they represented. And, you know, and there was a lot of amazing surprises. One of the most fun discoveries about the play, there's this big meme going around right now, which is somewhat impossible to explain, but all the students are repeating, 6-7 continually. It came out of a Skrillex song that then, was used as an audio and just kind of became this thing that students K through 12 are just repeating constantly. Anyways, there's this line in Richard III toward the end of the play, where one of Richard's soldiers is in conversation with Richard, and Richard asks, how many soldiers do the opposing forces of Richmond have? And Tyrrell, as the character, says, "Oh, 6 or 7,000 is their utmost power." And we discovered immediately in the first school on the tour in Billings West High School, big high school, that just led to an eruption of 30 seconds, where we had to just basically pause the show while all the students, were chanting 6-7, 6-7, and doing the gesture that goes along with it. I immediately the tour immediately got back in touch with me, and they're like, "What do we do? What do we do? Do we cut it from the show? Do we say, 5 or 6,000 instead?" And but instead chose to just kind of settle on the moment. So I told the character playing Richard, when the Tyrrell says 6 or 7,000 is their utmost power, to make a moment of it, to say, "How many? How many?" and do the gesture. And then the kids got it out of their system, and then they're able to move on with the play.
You can hear more with Associate Artistic Director Riley O'Toole about the recent Montana Shakespeare in the Schools tour on the web at ypradio.org. That's The Worm for this Wednesday. We'll be off for a few days. Catch up with us next week. We'll have another episode for you early birds then.
The Worm is a production of Yellowstone Public Radio. Theme music composed and recorded by Zach Jones at Rapscallion Recording. Metal Art Call captured by Jay McGowan for the Macaulay Library. More information about The Worm is available at ypradio.org.